Praise the Lord. I would like to pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity that we have gathered ourselves together. And Father, I trust that we have come because there is something in our hearts that wants to hear the voice of God. So often we take so many things for granted. Things that are familiar, things that we have known for many years, experiences that we have gone through, some of them repetitive. But Father, it is of your desire and of your will that we have come together at this particular time. And we stand before you a needy people. A people that need to hear the voice of God. Not the voice that someone else is saying that God spoke to them, but the voice that says, "Hear ye me, for I am the Lord your God." If ever there was a time frame that we would be living in, it is now that we need to hear the voice of God. Father, I stand before you, a vessel that has much need of your grace and your mercy. A vessel that is in need of your strength and your vitality. A vessel that has need of your mentality, your emotions, your desires. For so often mine trip me, push me, and make me turn and move away from you. Father, the words that I speak, if they are my words, they are of no value. They will not impart life. They will not resurrect. They will not deliver. They will not heal. They will not bring discernment. They will not bring revelation. Father, it is your words that I want this evening. It is your thoughts that I want this evening. It is your heart that I want this evening. Father, I just commit myself into your hands and ask for you to have preeminence. I pray for the hearts of those that are sitting here in this room. Father, that you might touch their hearts. You know the condition of, the state of, the position or the place of, and its desire or lack of for you. Father, I pray for the ears here this evening, that you might touch every ear. Father, we ask for divine intervention, that you would filter down through every aspect of our darkness, and that we might hear the pure, unadulterated, uncontaminated Word of God. We just present ourselves to you this evening, my God, that you might have preeminence in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. The last time I kind of felt like this in a meeting, as though I didn't have any word. When I finished, I think it was when they got it on tape, it was 184 minutes. Lord willing, it won't be that long this evening. But it was amazing to see how the grace of God moved, not only with me and my translator, but also with the congregation. and how they were able to sit there for that 4 hours and hear the Word of God. Hallelujah. Many thoughts are running through my mind. There is much that is on my heart. It's really difficult for me to know just exactly where to begin. I believe that the history of mankind has turned a corner, and that there are wheels of destiny that have been put into motion that are irreversible. We as a people have been listening to a message, adhering to the best of our ability, some more than others. And I'm not putting me in the more than others category. Hallelujah. And it was a message that pertained to the end of time, to the desire that was in God's heart from the very beginning. The aspect of the message, some of you have grown up under it. Some of you have chafed at it. Some of us have rebelled against it. That does not disqualify the message. It does not really disqualify the messenger. Although many of the messengers that have had the message have in some manner or another disqualified themselves. Yes. But the message is true. And regardless of the fact of what our experience has been or the history of the church and its efforts to obtain to a position of excellence with Jesus Christ, always being turned aside, diverted, and to moving into some religious concept or theology of God that brought some comfort to one's soul or to one's sense of being, that they might go on living. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, because of the events that are out of our hands concerning governments and the principalities and powers that be, hallelujah, the course of the thing has been outside and determined beyond our ability to control. That does not alleviate our position of authority. It does not alleviate our position of responsibility. It makes it all the more necessary for us to come to grips with what it is that God is saying to us as a church. Hallelujah. There have been certain forces in the world that God has used to an extent to hold back the tide of wickedness that has been brewing like a pot in a kettle, hallelujah, unbeknownst to many of us, but nevertheless brewing, hallelujah. And that pot is now about to boil over and to contaminate humanity. We as a people are supposed to be a saving agent. We as a people are supposed to be an authority that takes authority over that act and that move of wickedness. But unfortunately, we as a people are not ready to assume that position. And God is bringing a word to us to alert us of our dilemma. Praise the Lord. There was a message that the Lord spoke to me many years ago. Probably, I say many, about 3 or 4, maybe 5 years ago, about His coming. And it wasn't that He was telling me when He was coming. He said to me that we have His coming upside down. We have it topsy-turvy. He says He cannot come until there are certain events that transpire. Certain things have to happen. Hallelujah. And those events must be fulfilled much in the same way that it happened with Jesus Christ prior to His coming. Hallelujah. And you know, we can profess ignorance. We can say, well, we didn't hear. We weren't there. We didn't know. But the fact of the matter is that we have the information at our fingertips. Hallelujah. Many messages in many different places. Hallelujah. I call 2011 the year of conferences. There were 5 major conferences all over the world. One in Czech, a couple here, and 2 or 3 here in the United States, and 1 in Nigeria. All of those messages have been worked out, put on the web, where anybody can go and listen to them if they are of a mind to know what God is saying to the church. You know, this thing that we have is not for just checking your email. God did not give it to you for your own comfort, for your own benefit, for your own pleasure. God gave you the internet that you might be in touch with Him. God calls these particular gatherings for a particular reason. Because there is a particular word that God brings to the church in this environment. And this environment is very important. You're not going to get that type of word in your local fellowship. God holds that word for these types of gathering. Hallelujah. And if I'm not in a gathering, that doesn't mean that I am not culpable for what word went forth and what it was that God said. Because you see, God's word is not confined by walls and roofs and space and geographical locations. God's word is universal. It is spirit and it is life. But it's not only life, it can bring death. Did you know that? God's word is not only life and love, but God's word is death. Hallelujah. When He delivered the word through Moses to the children of Israel, He said to the children of Israel, I put before you today a blessing or a curse. It wasn't the devil cursing the people of God. It was God saying, if you do what you are supposed to do, and do it in the manner and fashion that I tell you to do it, then you will be blessed. But if you rebel, if you move contrary to the concept of righteousness that is in that word, it works a curse in my life and in your life, and it produces death. Hallelujah. You know, there's an interesting scripture that I came up. You know, I used to say that we are a people most blessed in the fact of the word that we have as a people. But I came across the scripture here some time back. I was in a dilemma because, you know, when we go into Africa and some of these places, we don't go into settings that are conducive to the word that we have to bring to give to them. We go into church situations with their pastors, their hierarchical systems of authority, their pastors and their under-pastors and their youth leaders and all of the things, hallelujah, that pertain to the politics of church. And it's not that they're not good people, not that they don't desire the things of God, but what they are doing and the thing that they are perpetrating is not bringing about what it is that God has in His heart for man when He created him. When God created man, He created him only for one reason. He created him for one purpose. And that purpose was to make an entity like unto Himself. That's the only reason why I am created. That's the only reason why you are created. And it seems as though life gets in the way. Because we put life up there on a pedestal as the thing that is most important. Our wants, our desires, our pleasures, our happiness, our contentment, our security, our position of prosperity and financial well-being. Our children, our husbands, our wives, everything comes on this category and is put on a pedestal, and we work ourselves to death, down to the bone, to bring about some sort of contentment in the aspect of what it is to be living comfortably. God did not create you for that. God did not create me for that. God did not bring these little children into the world that you might have a family to nurture and to grow up and they could be good Christians. God gave you children that you might teach them the principles and that they might understand that there is something outside of the family unit that is called Christ. And that they might begin to manifest, not the virtues or the nature of me, or the virtues or the nature of mom, but they begin to manifest the nature and the virtue of that which God calls God. God calls Christ. And the church is guilty. And I'm not talking about that place out there that's called outer court church. I'm talking about the holy place people. I'm talking about the holy place people who have had the word of sonship, who have made it now a denomination. It's a denomination that's non-denominational. Nevertheless, a denomination. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're not fulfilling the purpose for which God has bequeathed to us a word. Like no other word that any man or person has had from the beginning of time. Hallelujah. Well, I take that back. Because Adam used to walk with God. Adam used to walk with God. And in their walking together, God was talking to Adam about God. Wasn't talking to him about the animals and the weather and the jobs that he was doing or the fruit that was coming forth on the tree. God was talking to Adam about God. And I don't know how long God talked to Adam, do you understand? But he talked to Adam long enough for Adam to begin to understand the basic concepts and the reality of what God wanted. Hallelujah. That he began to talk to Enoch. Do you think that Enoch got his information out of the air? Huh? Look at the timeline. Go and look at the timeline of Enoch and Adam. Adam walked with Enoch for about 3/4 of Enoch's life. Hello? Hallelujah. It was only after Adam passed and the last quarter that Enoch began to get the theoretical information down into a heartfelt concept of what it was that God wanted, and it did something to his being. Hallelujah. You know, God allowed it to happen. God wanted it to happen to manifest to you and I that flesh and blood could move out of flesh and blood into a reality of God. No Holy Ghost, no blood. But you want to know something? He understood the concept. He understood the reality of the blood, Brother Mark. The Bible says without blood, there is no remission of sins. But the Bible tells us in God's mind, the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. That means the blood of Jesus Christ in God's mind was available. And you know what happened? Enoch plugged into God's mind.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What need would he need for the baptism of the Holy Spirit if he could part heaven and by the blood and the Spirit of God walk into the fullness of the reality? Hallelujah. Brethren, the demographics of our world, they are changing so rapidly. And they're not changing for the good of humanity. Hallelujah. Have you been watching the news in Africa? Huh? Have you been watching the news in Africa? Have you been watching the news of what is happening here? Have you been following it? Have you been looking at the news of what is going on in Israel? Have you been following it? I mean, following it. My God, we are coming to the end of time.
Yes, yes, we are.
Never before has a world population been in the place that it is now in. Never. Hallelujah. With the capability of mass destruction from all corners of the earth. Hallelujah. You know, there was a cry that was made in heaven to four angels that were standing on the four corners of the earth. And it says, hurt not the earth. Till we do what? Seal. Brethren, we're coming to the time of sealing. We're coming to the time of sealing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it corresponds with the word, I believe it's in Ezekiel, is it not, Brother Mark? Huh? With the writer's inkhorn. Huh?
Chapter 9
of Ezekiel. There was a man. There were four carpenters. Were they carpenters?
No. There were six men that had...
Six men who had slaughter weapons in their hands. Hallelujah. And they said to hold him back till they did what?
Seal.
No, he had to take his inkhorn and mark upon the foreheads of those that do what? Sigh and cry for what? The abomination. Are you sighing and crying? Is there grief in your soul when you pick up a paper or when you hear the news? Is there grief in your soul? Do you say, oh God, have mercy upon us? Hallelujah. God, have mercy upon us. As a people, we are so blind, so ignorant, so absolutely out of touch with the reality of the spiritual realm of hell that is rising up to devour us. We need to repent. I got to repent. I got to get down before God and say, God, 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 save my wretched soul. Save my wretched soul. God, save my wretched soul. You know, I was on the internet the other night. Somebody sent me a link. And it's a compilation of different preachers who are preaching about the wrath of God. It's kind of different to hear something called the wrath of God instead of God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Huh? It was different preachers. Brother Wilkerson was one. Brother Ravenhill was one. There was another man there. I think his name was Paul Washer. There was another one there. I don't know. He was an Indian man. And then there was another man there that preaching, and they were doing little excerpts out of their sermons and putting it together concerning the wrath of God. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Ravenhill, he has a message called the judgment seat of God. It is excellent. It is excellent. It is so excellent. If it doesn't make you rend your heart and rend your soul and get down on your face before God, then you need to repent of your hardness of heart and your supposition that you're okay. My God! Hallelujah! We do not have very much more time. This last August, I was going to Africa to be with Brother Ibiri and Brother Chijoki. And as I went to the airport in Bloomington, Illinois, and I sat down, well, they started really the night before. As I sat down in the airport, such a feeling of grief came over me. Brethren, I had people walking up and down around me. The loudspeaker going off with the different flights and things that were going on. But I couldn't hear and I couldn't see. I could just feel this unfathomable grief that was upon my soul. And I'm sitting there, God, why do I feel so bad? Why do I feel this way? What is it that I'm feeling? Why, oh God, am I going to die? Am I not going to be able to come back home? Am I not going to be able to see my wife, my grandchildren, or my children again, Lord? Is this what you're telling me? Hallelujah. Unexplainable. I can't even put it into words. If somebody were to talk to me, I wouldn't be able to answer them. Hallelujah. And I was under that burden for several days. And on the third or fourth or fifth day, the thing began to lift off of me. And we went about our business. We went to the youth camp in Port Harcourt, had a wonderful time. Went to Liberia, had a wonderful time. Difficult, but wonderful. Hallelujah. I was in my... Was it in that home? I was in my home, and I heard the news about what had happened in Libya. Huh? I heard about it, but then I heard that we did nothing. And as I was reading the account of it and all of the things that they were saying, that was nothing. All of a sudden, that grief came back on me. And God says, this is what you were feeling in August. This is the event that was going to happen that you were feeling. And I said to God, God, what is the problem? Why? It's just another incident. And God said to me, no. Hallelujah. It's not just another incident. Do you hear me? 9/11 became another incident. And we got a reminder of it, but it was more of a period at the end of a sentence than a reminder. I was talking to some brethren a few days later. And as I was speaking to them, God spoke to me. He says, it is the knelling of a bell. Now, I thought it was Kelling, K-N-E-L-L. But it's pronounced knelling. Hallelujah. I went and looked it up. I didn't know the word. Hallelujah. It says it's the knelling of the bell that tolls the death of a nation. Amen. We think it's another incident. We think it's another happening. That we will have more time to do what needs to be done. Brethren, let me tell you something about more time. Yes. Hallelujah. There is no more time. Yes. You can believe it. You can call me a fanatic. You can call me crazy. You can call me whatever you want to call me. But the days are coming that are going to verify to you that the end of this nation has been set and it is order, and nothing is going to redeem it. Nothing is going to redeem it. We are past the point of redemption. As a nation of people. And it's not just us as a nation. Nations are changing. Hello? Did you hear me? Go into Egypt. Go into, what is it? Where did it start? Tanzania? Huh? What is it?
Tunisia.
Go into Tunisia. Go into Libya. Go into any of these nations. Life has changed. And you see the crowd, the cloud of wickedness spreading in Europe. All parts of Europe, all parts of Asia. Hallelujah. You know, we were working down in the Philippines. Down on the island of Mindanao. Down on the island of Mindanao, is it southern part? One of the southernmost, largest, you know, they had a faction down there of, what do they call them? The MPs. There were the Muslim contingent. I understand that they have now agreed with them to give them their own part of that island. Do you think that you can appease the devil? Hallelujah. Brethren, we are living in a very serious time. And we need to know what it is that God is saying to us individually. Brethren, it's not what I say to you, whether you believe it or not. It is what God says to you. You individually have to go to God and ask God, verify for me the reality of what I am saying to you. I'm not afraid of you doing that, you understand. Hello? Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of doing that. Now you might be afraid to go because God might verify and vindicate what I'm telling you. Hallelujah. I was in Ethiopia preaching to a people, teaching them this kingdom, the word of this gospel. Hallelujah. And I said to these people, you need to go to God to hear what it is that God is saying to you through me, whether what I am telling you is the truth. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. There was a man who took me seriously. He said he went home that night. He asked God, God, this man says that you have sent him. This man says that he is bringing a word to us from God. Hallelujah. He goes to bed and he has a dream. In the dream, he sees 7 golden gates. Hallelujah. And as he's watching, the door swings open. He says, behind the gates, he could see this lush green grass, such as he's never seen, and it's very high, not the stuff that's really down here, low down. High, and he said, the grass was though it was living. And it was so inviting that he wanted to run through one of the gates and just dive into the grass. Wanted to roll around with it and put it into his mouth and eat it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that was the dream. Next time he comes to meeting, the Lord gives me a message on the 7 messages to the 7 churches. And in the midst of the message, God speaks to the man and says, these are your seven golden gates. How many of you go to God about the word? Or do you walk out the door and just forget it? You know, I have some statistics on my computer. I wanted to know the retention of what we hear, what we see, what we write, what we how we respond to it. You know, hearing is the least percentage of retention. You retain maybe it's 10% of what you hear. If you don't rehearse it, if you don't go back over it, if you don't think about it, if you don't discuss it, if you don't sit down and examine it, you forget. Huh? 90% of what it was that you heard. No wonder we are a church that is in trouble. Hallelujah. You know, I was one that had a lot of difficulty in memorizing scripture. But I was not one who had a lot of trouble with listening over and over and over and over and over again. The Word of God, and in the aspect of the messages that God was bringing to us as a people. Hallelujah. I had Him in my car. I had Him in my home. I had Him in my tractor. And if I didn't have them in my tractor, I had it in my ears. Hallelujah. How often do you discuss the Word of God when you sit down together? Over dinner, eating something. Do you discuss the Word of God? Do you discuss the things or the revelations or the funny things that the ministers of God are putting out on the table? Are you asking each other, what do you think about this? How does it apply to us as a people? Maybe tomorrow, Sister Lucy can give you a couple of the dreams that she had concerning these meetings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to understand the revelation that God is now bringing to the church. You know, there was a kind of a theme that I had concerning the Word of God in the last several years. And it was a scripture that's found in Matthew 24. It's an appropriate chapter. It talks about the end of time. It talks about the coming of Jesus Christ. And I even had it down there on the bottom of my email pages and things that I would be sending out. Any letters that I would be sending out. Hallelujah. And it's Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Brethren, you know we have gone to great lengths. Hallelujah. All of those who are in the business of doing the editing on the tapes, of building the websites, and doing the corrections and the transcribing of the messages, all of the things, we have gone to great detail, great length, great effort, great expense to make them available to your fingertips. Hallelujah. Not only you, but around the world, and the world is tapping in to these messages. In places I can't even pronounce. Places I didn't even know existed, but they got internet. And they're hearing Brother Mark. Hallelujah. They're hearing Brother Chijoki, Brother E. Berry, brother, all the brothers that are ministering and teaching, Brother George. Hallelujah. They are hearing the Word of God, and they are hungry souls reaching out to be fed. The Bible says If you hunger and thirst after God, you shall be filled. Amen. Brother Ed, you can say it, if you do not hunger, if you do not thirst, you shall be empty. 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 As a bottle that has no longer any need or use, you discard it. Hallelujah. Oh, hard word maybe, right? It's not hard if you love Jesus. It's not hard if you believe Jesus. It's not hard if you understand the reality of what it is that God is putting in front of us as a people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't have that theme anymore. Hallelujah. That isn't my theme anymore. Praise God. My theme now is found in Mark, the first chapter. Now listen to what it says. I'm going to prefix this with verse 14. Mark 1, hallelujah. 1:14. It says, now after that, John was put into prison. What is so significant about that? It means that John fulfilled the calling and the election that it was on. He was done. He was done. His job was done. The time or the place of turning the hearts of the children to the Father. Huh? Father to the children and the children to the Father. The time of that turning was finished. It was finished. Hallelujah. And it says Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Was he manifesting or was he just continuing John's ministry? Absolutely not. He was fulfilling the word of prophecy of the coming of Christ in the fullness of the manifestation as far as man was concerned. They had God standing right there in front of them. Hallelujah. It says the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, God is bringing us clarity. That's simple. It's down to earth. It's practical. It doesn't take an Einstein to understand it. If it took an Einstein, I would be in trouble. Hallelujah. I have trouble spelling. I have trouble with mathematics. I have trouble speaking. Huh? It's not an Einstein thing. It's simple. It's practical. It's absolutely so practical and so simple that even your little children can understand it. And God is revealing to us the nature of wickedness that is now coming forth in this hour. And it's not something out there somewhere that is a big threat to us. It's what's in here. It's what's in here. It's what's in this soul. What's in the very depths of my mind. My mind that is Bert Asbill. My emotion that is Bert Asbill. My desires that are Bert Asbill. My will that is Bert Asbill. Everything is Bert Asbill. It's detrimental to me, and any time the devil wants to do and bring a difficulty in my life is to come and press a Bert Asbill button. That's all he's got to do. It can be a look, it can be a word, it can be an action, it can be a thing. A thing. You go out and the tire's flat. And you've got an appointment. You're pressed for time. a thing. And you lose, it brings consternation to you. It brings a disturbance. It robs you of your peace. A flat tire robs you of your peace. A flat tire causes you to be angry. A flat tire. Or you put something down and you can't find it.
An everyday event.
You're sitting right there. You put something down and it's gone. You haven't moved one little inch and it's gone, gone, gone. Are you working on your computer and you hit the wrong button? You've labored and worked on this project and you are getting it just right and all of a sudden you hit the wrong button. It's gone, erased, eradicated, and you can't remember anything. And you get so frustrated. Oh, maybe you don't. You get so frustrated and you get a little agitated, a little irritated, and somebody comes along and asks you a wrong question and you snap. Or somebody does something and it pushes you a little too far because what you did already pushed you to the edge. Oh my God. And not only that, but there are so many things that crowd in on my day to rob me of my time and my position, my place of meditation and concentration and worship of God. And I don't look at them as opportunities of challenge. I don't look at them as opportunities of overcoming. I look at them as opportunities that are interfering with what I want to do. And what I think I want to do is good, it's right, it's religious. My God, what do I do? Do I go about my business as though nothing had happened, or do I get down before God and say, God, I need to kill this man. This man, this guy, this Bert Asbel, this guy, he has to die. I can't kill myself. Oh, God, help us. But God can create the circumstances for me by which I can be crucified as unto God. My God. And God can use every aspect and every thought. You know, my God. You know, you've got to give God the liberty to kill you. God won't kill you. You don't have to worry about, somebody else might, but God's not going to do it. God's not going to do it. Did you hear me? The altar of incense is a voluntarily offering that comes, not a sin offering. It's an offering of your soul that has been consecrated, and the desire for God is in the position or the place that is uttermost in your heart. It's above your husband. It's above your wife. It's above your children. It's above your pleasure and your sanctification as far as life is concerned. We have not come to that place, have we? Or I should say, I am not in that place. And if I'm not in that place, I am unfit. Unfit. I'm unfit. Now I can get down in my misery. Oh God, I'm so unfit. I'm impossible. I'm totally, absolutely lost. There's no hope for me. Oh God, God, deliver me. Deliver me, God! God, give me the strength to present my body as a living sacrifice. Yeah. You know, of God told one of the dreams, he said, teach the people how to overcome. You want to know how to overcome? Die. Die to self-interest. Die to self-will. Die to self-importance. Die to self. Die to self. Hello? When I came into this message more than 40 years ago, the message was death to self. It was death to self. It wasn't us highfalutin kingdom, sons of God. Huh? Death to self. I don't know if any of you here remember of death to self. We changed the name. That was too hard. That was too brutal. It scared people away. You know, Brother Duciel had a vision, and in vision the sons of God were getting their heads cutting off. Oh boy, nobody liked that one. Nobody liked that one, especially young people. You, some of you were young then. When you were babies, they were young. Young people didn't like it. They didn't like the thought of getting their heads cut off. Hallelujah. And you know, it bothered me. Come on. Why would I want my head cut off? Why would I want to overcome, sacrifice, give up, give away, die here, die there, die here, die there, die there, die there, just come down to the end of the road and get my head cut off? Doesn't seem too glorious to me, does it? To you? No head! Hallelujah. And you know, it wasn't until just a couple of years ago, maybe a few years ago, I finally figured it out. I finally figured it out. Huh? Hallelujah. I have to lose my head for his head. I can't keep, and you know, but Brother Duciel would say it over and over and over again. A two-headed man is a beast. Did you ever think about it? Oh God, help us. Hallelujah. A two-headed man is a freak. It's a sideshow. He belongs in a circus. Hallelujah. You remember the trouble we had over that? Does anybody remember the trouble? Huh? How the young people rose up. Well, you don't want our heads cut off. Brother Duciel said, well, don't worry. If you don't want it cut off, nobody's going to cut it off. Because it's true. The only reason why anybody would cut it off is because you'd put it on the block and let them cut it. My God. Hallelujah. It says that this gospel of the kingdom says that the time is fulfilled. Beloved brethren, I believe where we're coming, that we are in the fulfilling of time. What about you, Brother Mark? Am I putting you in a place that you don't want to be, or do you feel like it's the fulfillment of time?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I have seen certain situations, certain circumstances where God has given us more time. We were in a particular land and we are praying about the work of God that's going on in that land, and the government was rising up to do something. Do you hear me? I was there and I could feel it. I was so edgy and so nervous. And you know, I'm thinking, man, what's going on here? Why do I have this feeling, this creepy little feeling, these little chills and thoughts and things that are going on? Because the government was doing something that was against God. The government was planning to do something that was against God. Not only was it against God, but it would hinder the work of God that God was sending us to do. And so we prayed. And we begin to fast and to push and to press and to fight the devil on every level that we were meeting him. Hallelujah. For 12 days we fought the devil. One morning we overcame him. Hallelujah. Do you know what God did for us? He removed the head of government. Took him out. He died. Hello? Are you there listening? And the head of the organized state church, he also died.
Jesus.
All within 30 days. Oh, now he's working witchcraft. No, 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 no. I didn't know what God was going to do. I was just fighting the devil. Hello? I was fighting the devil coming at us day and night, 24 and 7 for 12 days. Hallelujah. 12 days fighting the devil. One morning we wake up and say, devil, you're a liar. Broke. Hallelujah. I looked at my wife and thought, could it be that simple? God gave us more time. This last election, we were praying, God, give us more time. God didn't give us more time. It wasn't a prayer, God, you have to give us more time. It was praying, God, give us more time. If it is in the will of God that we have more time, if it is in the will of God that we need more time, God did not give us more time. What does that tell you? Well, I don't know what it tells you, but I know what it tells me. We are living in the end of time. We are seeing the death and destruction around us, in our economics, in our position of personal liberty, in our position of personal thoughts and actions. We're finding the encroaching darkness encroaching more and more and more and more and more upon us. Hello? And for me to preach to you that homosexuality is a sin is an offense that could wind me up in jail. Hello? Did you hear me? They are putting people in jail right now for doing it. Huh? We better watch out. What are we doing? What are we doing with our position, our relationship with God? What are we doing with the Word of God that has been given to us? What are we doing? Well, I can tell you we're not doing what we should be doing with it. Hallelujah. Brethren, this conference, if you don't want to hear what God is saying, don't come back. Did you hear me? I'm serious. I'm not being facetious. I'm not being mean. I'm not being anything. I'm just telling you the truth. If you do not want to hear what God is going to say, do not come back. Because if you come back, you will be held accountable for what you hear. You're going to hear it anyway out there somewhere. Hallelujah. There is a word that God is bringing to the church in this hour. And it's a word of repentance. You know, what I get to see in Africa when I go into the church is the extreme end of religion. Huh? Hallelujah. Go into a service and they're playing their music and doing their jiving. Their Holy Ghost jiving. Calling up devils. Hallelujah. Do you think that we are in any other better place if what we are doing is not by the Spirit of God? Under the influence and the jurisdiction of God and by the Word of God. Have you ever stopped to think about it? I have stopped and thought and thought and thought and thought. Do I do what God tells me to do? Do I only say what God tells me to say? Absolutely not. Then I am transgressing my position of relationship, because I'm not to speak unless I hear God speak. Hello? You don't think that applies to me, are you? Sometimes I think we speak because we like to hear the sound of our own voice. Hello? Oh boy. Hallelujah. It says that we are, it gives us a malady. It gives us an action. It gives us an instruction, is what it says, in saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Can it be so simple? Well, it must be. That's what it says. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What gospel are you going to believe? Are you going to believe in the good time gospel? Are you going to believe in the gospel that pertains to you and I in the end time? And the circumstances are the environment in which we come forth as what the Bible calls the sons of God. It's our decision to make. It's your decision. Young, old, in between. Hallelujah. And we need to be teaching our babies how to make the right decision. And I trust that as this conference goes on, and the different ones come up to share, hallelujah, there will be a practical application and an understanding of what it is, what we have to do, when we have to do it, where we have to do it, and who we have to do it to. Amen? Praise the Lord. I would also recommend that we have a board up here that we could write on. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.